Good morning. Today is Monday. It's the 27th of March. 27? Yeah, 27th of March. And joining us this morning is Mr. Arkley from Points Undisclosed. Good morning, sir.
Good morning. How are you?
We are here, and we're under blue skies. How's that?
What?
Yeah.
That's not supposed to be the case.
Well, I know. They keep talking about whatever these storms are. What? When did they rename storm fronts into whatever these things are being called now? I missed that day.
Atmospheric rivers, etc.
Yeah, I missed that day, I guess.
Yeah, new words, new crises, just lots of things to be concerned about.
Well, we've got crises that we can talk about in a sec, but first you're going to have the opportunity to prove your intelligence. Are you ready? Okay, well, let's see if I can find. Okay, this one you might be able to nail. Why do we use the phrase, or where does the phrase come from, double cross?
It's got to be religious. I don't know.
In frontier America, a person unable to write was often required to sign a document. Under such circumstances, in lieu of a name, it was legal for them to sign with an X on the form. Abraham Lincoln's mother followed this usage, along with multitudes of others of her contemporaries. Often, a party to a contract agreed to it under pressure and didn't want to observe its terms. Oral lore insisted that when crosses were doubled, one being placed over the other, the first was canceled or made null. Primitive as it sounds in the computer age, this double cross was common enough to give its name to any act of deception or betrayal.
That is wonderful.
Yeah.
I'm better for that. Thank you.
Yeah. You're going to go back now in some of those contracts that were signed early on, huh?
Maybe not.
Maybe not. Yeah, okay. Just keep them in the archives and don't let anybody look at those bad boys. Silicon Valley Bank. Boy, oh boy. You know, I would think that if there was anything that would send a shiver through not only the tech community, but the venture capital community, that revelation, development, whatever we want to call it, over the past few weeks must have sent a shiver through the financial community. What kind of read did you have on that one?
Well, it was a bank that was run by a woke board of directors. They didn't have a risk officer. They
didn't have a risk officer?
No, they went 6 months without a risk officer. They long-dated treasuries. Then Peter Thiel did the favor and said, I'm telling all my people to get money out of the founder's fund money out of Silicon Valley Bank. So it created a good old-fashioned run on deposits, and it shook the daylights out of the entire banking system. And so I would not bet that the worst of this is behind us. I've been talking to really smart people, and they worry about that it's not done either. We are, we're moving our company banking to either J.P. Morgan or Wells Fargo under the theory that they're both too big to fail, so our deposits will be insured.
Right.
I wouldn't have a dime over the insured limit at any of these small banks, including, unfortunately, Credit Union, Redwood Capital. Just don't do it. Why would you take the risk? Money's too hard to make. And so, consequently, I'm not saying they're at risk, but why would any depositor take the risk of putting their money at risk? You just can't do it. Or at least I'm not. And the local banks all say they're safe, and I believe them to be safe, but we're dealing in
just being prudent.
A time of great uncertainty.
Yeah, I mean, it just sounds like, you know, you'd be, what's the payback for the risk? You know, personal convenience, and that's about it.
It's not enough to matter. It's pretty binary. If they let these small community banks fail and don't insure the deposits, you're either going to get most of your all your money back or none of your money back. It just is a terrible risk. And how Peter Thiel, you know, there is a law that says you're not allowed to start a run on a bank. I don't know, go on CNBC and say, get your money out. I mean, look, Silicon Valley Bank was a pretty, pretty non-conventional bank. And
because of the venture capital or because of the environment that they were in, or the
I think everyone niche? Would agree that the tech community now, especially in Silicon Valley, believes they are the masters of the universe. This bank was run as if it was masters of the universe. And what happened? Biden is not being honest when he says there isn't a bailout. Of course there was. There was a bailout, and it will cost all of us money. And it's that simple.
So are there others in the Silicon Valley that are not similar necessarily, because I'm sure that they're scrambling now, but that are based on venture capital, or was the source for the equivalent of venture capital?
I don't think the venture capital nature of it is what it made it systemically important. Their book of business were startups that had liquidity, and they had to make payroll, and it rippled through a lot of things. But was it per se Silicon Valley? No, there were startups all over the world that were being financed by them. That you saw the England branch of Silicon Valley Bank was seized by the government and sold. And so, you know, there were lots of issues here. But the regulator for the Fed was more concerned about gay rights and all that than she was regulating the damn bank.
Well, and we'll talk about that one when we come back. It's 8:19.
Murphy's Markets has everything you need to get through your day the healthy way. From drinks to snacks and everything in between, right now, Amy and Brian coconut water is only $1.99. Brew Dr. Kombucha drinks are also just $1.99. And Annie's homegrown products are $2.49. A 6-ounce Yoplait yogurt is only 79 cents. And don't forget about chicken of the sea tuna, 4 for $5. Get a boost for your day by stopping by Murphy's Markets, more than a grocer, your neighbor since 1971.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:24. We're back talking shop this morning with Mr. Rob Arkley. Rob, with the Silicon Valley Bank, we just heard the update that, you know, there's still ripples going on. Those ripples, you know, for a lot of us, you know, we don't bank in San Jose. We don't play at the levels with a lot of these venture capitals and the zeros and the commas and whatnot. Why should we be concerned?
Well, if you're under $250,000 in deposits, you don't need to be concerned. If you have a payroll that is over $250,000 every 2 weeks, you need to be concerned. If you have savings over $250,000, you need to be concerned. So, because, see, Silicon Valley got a preferred bailout. Gavin Newsom was very instrumental in this, and he had a bunch, no one talks about it, but he had a bunch of money in Silicon Valley Bank. He didn't disclose it. It took, you know, it should have been known, but they saved that bank. Do you think they'd save Redwood Capital? Not a chance.
No.
They'd let it go and flush everybody. So if this is not even-handed regulation, it's just not.
Well, there was some, they were talking about, I guess, community banks. There's been an increase in the number of failures of those throughout the country in the last 6 months or something like that. So
Not really.
Well, it was just pointed out, I guess, a number. I was wondering, is there a consolidation going on in the financial services industry right now?
Well, there's no secret that liberal administrations love bank consolidation because it becomes more like a state-owned entity. And that's, you know, that's what Biden's people want. Would you have money in a fossil fuel bank, right, that does those type of loans? Hell, I'd be afraid. They use the powers at their disposal brutally. So I think everyone needs to understand that runs on banks happen, that if they think that their bank, local bank, is going to be protected, like Silicon Valley, there's no way. No way it'll be protected like Silicon Valley Bank. You had the governor. You had Nancy Pelosi's. The fix was in on this. It's not for any of us.
So as a template, are there going to be other banks that are similar to this throughout the country that are going to be, I guess, exposed and then dealt with similarly?
I doubt if there are any banks of size that are going to be bailed out this way. But boy, the Fed is throwing liquidity at these other institutions. Fed borrowings are up from $5 billion up to, you know, what they borrowed last week, $150 billion. It's just gone through the roof.
So what's driving that bus?
Fear, the need to stay liquid. And Fed borrowings are expensive. That's nothing cheap about that. That's liquidity of last resort for these banks. So it's right now, John Dalby is earning his money. It is a hard job to manage a bank right now with this type of uncertainty.
So as community members, we look at the secondary or tertiary impacts of that, businesses going out, getting lines of credit as an example, or expanding, or things of that nature. Is there an impact at that level?
Yeah, absolutely. I think that right now the banking crisis is doing the Fed's work. The Fed is wanting to break inflation. Well, the banks aren't going to lend. There was a lending crisis going into this, and it's only gotten logarithmically worse. It's a problem for most institutions. And then the credit providers that weren't banks, ironically, depend on a lot of their their funds to lend from banks. So it's kind of rippling through the whole system. The system is shaking and quaking. Will we get through it? Yes. But is it going to be scary and everyone needs to be on defense? Yes.
So when you say everybody, is that just the financial services area, or are we talking businesses, or are we talking the American public in general?
I think the American public in general. If you want to buy a building now, it's not easy to borrow the money. If you want to buy, you know, cash is at a premium. And then, we finally closed our lots over in, Timber Falls by Safeway. And I'll tell you, the title companies are slow in getting the yips, too. Everything is starting to get nervous in the system.
So the real estate arena as well as the primary niche is being impacted.
Yeah. I think there's a lot of pain being meted out right now. And it's too bad the Fed raised rates again. You know, inflation, they measure inflation looking back 12 months. If they look back 3 months, wouldn't have needed to do the raise in rates again.
Right. Yeah, fair enough. And we'll talk about what some of those decisions, why they're being made when we come back. It's 8:30.
This is the Lars Larson Show.
And these kids who come, they become Americans before a lot of Americans become Americans.
Now, here's your host, Lars Larson.
Hey there, it's Lars Larson. Join me for the Lars Larson Show, weeknights 10 to midnight. Honestly provocative talk radio on KINS.
Good morning, KINS News and Information Time. It's 8:36. We're back talking shop this morning with Rob Arkley. Rob, as the Fed does what the Fed does, is Jerome Powell, is he a independent thinker? Is he a financial whiz kid? Is he somebody that is just following the line of the administration? What is he?
One, I don't know. Two, he sat on a lot of this. He didn't move on this when he could have because he wanted to be reappointed. That's how the urban legend goes or Wall Street legend goes. I don't know him. I've never met him. I doubt if I ever will. I've known Fed governors, and some are very political, and some are the brightest guys in the room. They're all over the spectrum. I certainly don't give the San Francisco Fed governor a lot of credit. He was asleep at the switch.
Yeah. Well, and it's tough for those of us outside to really understand what's going on. And I don't know if there are parallels, so I'm just going to put this out just kind of as a thought. Is he at like a financial Fauci? With the health care, that he'll do what's necessary in the moment, or is there a long-term plan?
No, I mean, Fauci is hopelessly conflicted financially. I don't believe Powell is that way.
Okay.
Fauci also thinks he's the smartest guy in the room, and can just believe me, and I don't think Powell suffers from that. The Wall Street groups that are dealing this, we are skeptics by definition and a pretty sharp knife group of people.
Well, is there an informal advisory group that exists for some of these folks? I mean, I would like to think, and this is true whether it's at the local level or the state level, is that if you get to a certain point where you are, in effect, a regulator, and whether that's formalized or not, but a regulator of an industry, that you reach out to various levels of people in that industry to find out what's going on and to kind of see from their perspectives what needs to and what doesn't need to occur. I mean, I can think of FCC. I would think that they would do that also in my industry. Doesn't happen. But I would like to think that, you know, if some of us got into positions of any influence or authority, that's part of doing your job is reaching out and talking to people and you know, as a barometer of what today is, rather than waiting for the reports in 3 months to come out and then look a 12-month period prior to that. I mean, that's goofy. Do they do that at the Fed level for the financial planning and impacting, because you know it's certainly doing both of those to everybody in the country.
These groups, industry groups, do that, and I think I don't know who talks to the feds, but I just don't quite know how they're doing it, and I. do know the community bankers have been on a charm offensive, and they have been letting Powell have it. So everyone interested votes with their voice what the Fed listens to. I think they're pretty data-driven. I wish they would have seen that they basically beaten the inflation issue, but they don't seem to be convinced that they have. And things are going to start cracking more systematically.
What are you thinking when you say crack? I mean, to those of us who are still in the earthquake area, a crack is not something that is a minor little event. It's a significant life-changing event. Is that the magnitude that you're referencing?
Yes.
How does that play down Main Street?
I think Main Street is going to, they're paying higher rates. Residential is less impacted than commercial. We still have demographically a great need for housing. So I think, you know, apartments, et cetera, are pretty good. The commercial buildings, I think that's tough. And I see a lot of these loans, Brian, were written at 3.5%. And now when the loan matures, the new reset number is 7, 8, 9%. And they just won't cash flow. So you're going to see a lot of things, non-performing loans, just you're going to see things break.
So a lot of opportunities for people to acquire, and a lot of folks that are going to be moving into the I got to get out of this mentality?
I don't think I got to get out of this. They're going to have to get out of this because the lenders are going to be left with no alternative. They fundamentally, when rates go up, the value of the asset goes down. And if you have, it's entirely conceivable that you had at 3.5% your asset was a positive cash flow. And it's also entirely possible that at 7 or 8, it'll be negative cash flow. And so, you know, the system is, you're just going to see some misery out there. I don't see any other way.
So that, when it occurs, I guess that presentation is, I didn't get lost on it, so I guess everybody else has a chance at that too. Seems pretty straightforward. Are there hedgings? Are some folks beginning to hedge now in anticipation of that, whether it's in the next 2 or 3 years or in the next 5 to 10 years?
Of course there are. And every businessman worth his or her salt, I think, is being very careful and deliberate in looking at maturities. We're looking at maturities. We have one maturity at the end of this year, and then we don't have any other real estate maturities. Well, we're going to pay it off over the next 3 to 4 years anyway. But we have one maturity that we're already talking to the lender, talking to him within 17 minutes when we hang up this call. So, you know, you've just got to get in front of everything because right now everything to get approved takes longer. The terms aren't as good, so they're tough to swallow. And, we're just retrenching. Brian, you and I have seen 20% interest rates. This is hardly that. But we have a generation of people who've never seen high rates. And it's going to change the way they do business. And what's scary is a lot of them haven't changed their calculus, nor have the banks changed their calculus.
KINS, News and Information Time, it's 844.
Hearty and healthy foods are abundant at Murphy's Markets. USDA Choice Boneless Beef Chuck Roast is now $5.99 a pound. USDA Choice New York Strip Steak, $15.99 a pound. And USDA Grade A Boneless Skinless Chicken Thighs are only $3.99 a pound. Complement this with a Greek salad, now just $7.99 a pound, topped with Kraft salad dressing for only $3.75 for a 16-ounce bottle. Murphy's Markets, more than a grocer, your neighbor since 1971.
Good morning, KINS News and Information Time. It's 8:48. We're back talking shop this morning with Rob Arkley. Rob, some of the different challenges that are out there, whether it's on a national basis or you know, in your neighborhood basis, how do you maintain an optimistic perspective that tomorrow will be better than today?
Well, because I think we're all improving at really a great rate. I mean, I think the businesses that are surviving now have been able to adjust. We don't face it with fear, and we embrace change. I mean, it's kind of an exciting time. We're doing two IT conversions. That's really fun. We're buying a new sort of asset. That's fun. Lots of challenges, and, you know, we have such great people. And so, you know, overall, there are lots of positive things. And if you don't have a passion for it, for goodness sakes, get out of it, because it will run you over. And right now, I feel just great about everything, and I look forward to each day.
Are there canaries that you look at?
Oh, yeah. I look at our national debt. That's a big canary.
That canary's angry, though.
Well, it is quiet right now, and it shouldn't be. Remember that Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, AOC? She talked about modern monetary theory, MMT,
right,
where you can basically print money and deficits don't matter. What is not being reported by our press, which I have totally given up on as any potential positive impact on the world, Biden has implemented modern monetary theory. He's just printing money, and it's a real problem.
So as that continues, wouldn't inflation continue also? Indefinitely?
Ultimately, it has to be inflationary. Yes, 100%.
What kind of read did you have with the North Slope being opened up for oil production? Do you think that's going to make much of a change? I heard that and went, that's interesting. Why not open up the Keystone, because that's already in place?
Well, that's because you're thinking. I don't know the politics that went on behind the curtain on that. It may be that Murkowski got some special deal for him. I will never know why that was allowed and others aren't. I'm skeptical of the offshore wind. It would be a great boom for us, but I just don't see right now. Boy, they're killing a lot of whales.
Well, my thought with that, and it seems to be something that others are kind of considering as a win also, is even if it doesn't get located offshore here, as long as we're making the things and they get shipped off to Timbuktu, who cares? We got the jobs. And that in and of itself is quite a victory.
Probably. I just don't know if they're not being done. If we aren't producing the wind, are we going to be, all things being equal, the lowest cost provider of windmills? I just don't know that that is the will be the case, and that we will be able to export these. I think that, I mean, the Europeans produce windmills. Are they cheaper than we are? I just don't know. You know, we're talking about a worldwide market in that instance, Brian, and historically in technology, we're really, really good. But when it comes to making big things, quite often it can be done offshore cheaper. That's my reaction.
Well, I guess time will tell on that one. I'm crossing my fingers for the fish folks, too. They've gone kind of dormant, so we'll see.
Oh, that one I want. I really do.
Yeah. That one makes sense. Well, hope to see you in the next little bit here, buddy.
Soon.
Yeah.
Soon, when the rain's over.
Well, I've heard about that new shock of purple hair that you're wearing. I just want to see it myself.
Yeah. It's a great
something about
change of pace.
Something about LSU making the Final Four in the women's.
Isn't that fun? And look at our baseball team. Wow.
All right, buddy. Hang in there. Thanks for the time.
Thank you.
See everybody tomorrow.